A whole lot of nothing. The Federal Reserve says it's reserving help for now.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Steve Chiatakis. Federal Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke just announced that the Fed stands ready to help the U.S. economy, but is holding off right now. Jill Schlesinger joins us now, as she does every Friday. She's editor-at-large for CBS MoneyWatch. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Jill, markets all over the world were hanging on this speech from Bernanke, waiting to see what the Fed would do to help the U.S. economy. Were you surprised that the Fed is holding off?
You know, I think that this was a little bit of a loaded situation for Bernanke, that he did this last year. So maybe what he thought was, you know what, let me just hang out here for a second. I'll tell them that I'll help them out if the economy really sputters, but I don't have to do it in the exact same way as last year.
Jill, we also got word this morning that economic growth was really sluggish in the second quarter. Our gross domestic product grew just 1%. Should the Fed be doing something about this?
I think the problem is that the Fed's toolkit is limited. What we suffer from in this economy is an overhang from this big asset bubble, the housing bubble, that burst. And we also have that other bubble, the credit bubble, that also burst. And what that does is it reduces demand. No matter what the Fed does, it can't address the demand side of the equation. So you can have rates really cheap, but that doesn't mean that people aren't going to stop paying their debt down. It doesn't mean that you can force companies to go spend money. They really are looking at what will actually fix this economy long term, and I don't think the Fed can do it.
Jill Schlesinger with CBS Money Watch. Thank you, Jill.
Take care.
The markets seem to have mixed feelings about Bernanke's speech. Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 0.25%, 30 points, to 11,119. The NASDAQ is up 0.9% to 2,441, and the S&P 500 is up 0.1% to 1160. Shares of Pandora are up more than 6.5%. The music service went public 2 months ago when tech companies couldn't get into the market fast enough. But this month, many have put off initial public offerings. Jennifer Collins has more.
Venture capitalists pour billions into startups every year. Facebook, Twitter, Groupon all got healthy doses of venture capital. And eventually, those investors want their money back.
So they're anxious because they would like to get a good price for not such a long holding period.
Kathy Smith is with Renaissance Capital. She says when IPOs slow down, because the markets are unpredictable as they are now, it takes investors longer to cash out. Vikram Mancharamani teaches finance at Yale.
Venture capitalists harvest their investments and then recycle that capital into new investments.
Mancharamani says if a venture capital firm doesn't turn a profit, it won't spend as freely.
It'll be hard for other startups to get money.
Kathy Smith thinks the IPO market could be slow for at least several weeks. And even if the chill becomes a deep freeze, she says it'll probably only last 6 months. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
The Scottish government has plans to create new jobs and billions in extra revenue from renewable energy. It's pinning most of its hopes on wind power. Scotland is one of the windiest parts of Europe, and we sent Marketplace's Stephen Beard to check it out.
In the hills above the small Scottish village of Fintry, local resident David Howell shows off some of the town's most valuable assets.
What we got here is we've got 15 turbines in total. We own 1/15 of the output.
The villagers struck a deal with the company that built the wind farm. Fintry residents are paying off the capital cost of one of the turbines. In return, they get 1/15 of the revenue from the electricity generated.
It's not a bunch of suits coming up from the capital city to make a lot of money out of your environment. You actually have a stake in it.
When it's paid for the turbine, the village could make $750,000 a year from the wind farm. Howell's wife, Kate, says Fintry intends to spend the money installing biomass boilers and other renewable energy equipment to wean itself off increasingly expensive oil.
You have to really make a stand and do something to cut your costs and help the environment at the same time.
So this is a tremendous boon on your doorstep here.
It is, absolutely.
Another Fintry resident, Kelly McIntyre, says the whole of Scotland could be on the brink of a new energy bonanza.
We could be the Saudi Arabia of renewables. It is really a golden age for Scotland.
The Scottish Government says that with its wind and powerful tides, Scotland could become the green energy powerhouse of Europe, generating 100,000 new jobs. But public policy consultant Tom Myers is not persuaded.
The problem with renewable energy is that it's less efficient than conventional sources of power.
It has to be subsidised through higher electricity prices for all, and that, he says, won't create more jobs.
If you're taking money from one industry and giving it to another, almost by definition there can be no net gain in jobs, and normally when you subsidise an industry at the expense of other industries, there's a net loss of jobs.
He says there's unlikely to be a bonanza for the Scottish economy as a whole, although he concedes that the people of Fintry may do very well because of wind power. In Fintry, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, a planet has just been discovered in the Milky Way that's made entirely out of diamond. It has roughly the same mass as Jupiter. How much is it worth? Well, diamonds are about $5,000 a carat. The planet has an estimated 10 to the 30th powers worth of carats, which adds up to more than our budget deficit. Imagine that. Too bad it's 4,000 light years away. Jill Schlesinger, who we talked with earlier in the show, by the way, is blogging on our website. Check it out. That's at marketplace.org. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in New York, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Power outages twice a week. Factory workers getting sent home with little notice. That's the reality in China.
If we are lucky, they will tell us on Wednesday afternoon that Thursday and Friday there is no power for us.
I'm Bob Moon. Guess what? Power plants need power. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.